Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We're excited to welcome Lindsey Jones, who covers the NFL for USA Today Sports and has been to a handful of training camps already. Lindsey, let's start with what's the big story in the league right now, that Jay Cutler had his first practice with the Miami Dolphins after coming out of broadcasting and retirement. There's a month to go until the season starts. How's this going to work with Miami?
There's been a lot of drama down there in Miami, because Ryan Tannehill group, when last season ended, we were talking about all this uncertainty about his knee, and he worked really hard this offseason to kind of get back, to get himself healthy. They opted not to have surgery on his partially torn ACL back in December, early January. Ultimately, with hindsight, that was probably the wrong decision. They probably should have gone in and fixed it. It would have been a really long and hard recovery process for him, and he might not have been ready for week one, but the alternative now is that, you didn't have him at the end of last season, and now there's a very big likelihood that you're not going to have him all this season. So now you kind of have to scramble. For the Dolphins' perspective, and certainly I'm sure this is what Adam Gase is believing, they feel really lucky that Jay Cutler was available. He was, hanging out, getting ready for his broadcasting career, because he's the one quarterback available who has this really close relationship with Adam Gase and understands the offense that they're going to run. So he's going to take 4 or 5 weeks now to get back into shape. He hasn't really been throwing very much, if at all, since he went on IR with the Bears last December. But he knows at least the offense and what he needs to do. And now they have this time where he can get physically ready and spend as much time as he needs to throwing with Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker and Julius Thomas, and getting familiar with the new offensive line that he's going to be working with.
You covered Jay back when he was with the Broncos, and he spent his time with the Bears, and he was under John Fox and Adam Gase. How much about Jay Cutler is misunderstood when you think about attitude and approach? And there are a lot of people who say that, he's an arrogant jerk and he's not interested in playing football at all.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of that kind of with his outward, the way he carries himself kind of in the public. He has had very bad body language throughout the course of his career. And I know that's something that, Adam Gase has kind of worked with him on, where, he just, when something's going wrong, when he's frustrated, when he's upset with a teammate, he's not very good at masking that. I did cover him when he was with the Broncos, but that was almost 10 years ago. He was really young. I think he's grown up a lot since then. I think he's a very different guy than the guy that Broncos fans remember. I mean, I know I've been watching my timeline and my Facebook feed and stuff recently, and there's been a lot of people in Colorado kind of laughing about Jay Cutler getting another shot. But I think he's just grown up a lot. He's not the same guy that left here in 2009. His teammates tend to really like him. He gets along well with the other guys. Offensive linemen tend to really like him. He fits in well in the locker room, and I think he gets a lot of respect from his teammates because he's a lot tougher than people give him credit for. He takes a lot of hits. Those first few years that he was in Chicago, he got beat up really badly, and he fought through a lot of stuff, played through a lot of stuff. Scrambles a lot, takes hits, and kind of gets back up, and isn't scared to get hit in the pocket on all those sorts of things that offensive linemen really, really respect. So, I think part of it is a bad rap, and and I also think he's matured a lot. And I've gotten actually a couple messages today from people down in Miami who have been surprised about how personable he's been since he's arrived there. And I just think, maybe having a little distance, stepping away from the game for a couple months, being in a lot of television prep meetings, I think that's all also helped with his kind of outward demeanor.
You're right. The TV stuff and the TV people telling him you have to be careful of your facial expressions and the way you portray yourself, that could be a big assist for him. The Miami Dolphins went 10-6 last year. They grabbed a wild card in the AFC. They obviously have some expectations of getting back there. So do the Atlanta Falcons, who had the stunning end to their season in the Super Bowl after being up 25 points. You spent some time with them. It's really different around their camp in terms of coaching staff and who's running the show. What was that like to be with them as they step on the field to get ready to try to, I don't know, get another shot at it?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Quinn, their head coach, you know, I think they all took this pretty hard. I mean, the way the Super Bowl ended, I don't know how you couldn't take it hard. I mean, it was one of the most kind of devastating losses in Super Bowl history. But they spent a lot of time this spring really kind of psychoanalyzing what happened, talking about it, owning it. They went and watched it. It wasn't like they pretended it didn't happen, but they wanted to kind of put it all, you know, put all of that out there back in, you know, March and April. And then when they could show up for training camp, you know, here late last month, they wouldn't have to talk about it. They're not going to get away with it. I mean, they're going to have to talk about it. They're going to be playing the Patriots later this year. They're going to have some really big games, week two, Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they've got some really, really big games on their schedule. But they have made some significant changes. So there are some things that you can point to and say, okay, this isn't the exact same team. Schematically, they're going to do some, you know, some things that are a little bit different. They obviously, Kyle Shanahan, their offensive coordinator, he's gone, you know, and he took a lot of heat from the way that Super Bowl ended in terms of play calling offensively. Right. He's gone. He's been replaced by Steve Sarkisian, the former college coach at USC and University of Washington. He's now, he hasn't changed a lot of stuff. He's really keeping the system in place. You know, there's going to be some tweaks here and there, but offensively, you know, that's going to be the big change. And then defensively, they've got a new defensive coordinator, a young guy named Marquand Manuel, who is a kind of a Dan Quinn coaching disciple. He's been with him numerous places, University of Florida and Seattle, before coming to Atlanta. He's a young guy with a lot of energy. I mean, he was a player who retired, I believe, in 2008 or 2009. So it hasn't been a long time since he was in the game, and the players have been responding really well to them. And they've got a couple players back. The most important guy Desmond Trufant is their best cornerback and maybe their best defensive player in that secondary. You know, him and Vic Beasley are a really nice young core that they've got. He was right. injured last year, didn't play in the postseason, and now he's back. So that secondary looks a lot better when you've got Trufant in it than that group that we saw at the Super Bowl.
Lindsay Jones covers the NFL for USA Today Sports, spending a couple of minutes with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You were in Denver, where they've also had a regime change. Even though it's good that Coach Kubiak has found a job in the personnel department, this is Vance Joseph's team now. And we've heard the two quarterbacks will start the first two preseason games and have an opportunity. When you were there, how close is this competition between Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because they're making this a very open and even competition in terms of they're splitting everything almost exactly 50-50. If it's a day that, you know, let's say Monday, Trevor gets to take the first team reps, and then Tuesday it's going to be Paxton Lynch. And they're splitting it like this. They've decided that Trevor Siemian is going to start the preseason opener on Thursday against Chicago, and then Paxton Lynch is going to get that exact same opportunity next Saturday in the second preseason game against San Francisco. They're both going to get about equal time, about a quarter and a half, is what Vance Joseph is planning on. They're going to get to start off with the ones. They're going to spend a little bit of time with the backups as well. He really wants to get as much of an equal evaluation. He wants to see how these guys do when they're playing with the same group of wide receivers, the same offensive linemen, when they're going against another team's starting defense. That said, the practices that I've been at, I've only seen them for a scrimmage right now, but I saw them a bunch in the spring as well. It looks to me like Trevor Siemian is starting to open up a little bit of a gap just because he's more consistent. His best plays might not be quite as eye-popping, but his worst plays aren't as bad. So this is what the Broncos are going to have to weigh right now, and what Vance Joseph, Mike McCoy, and ultimately John Elway are going to have to decide here is, do you want the quarterback who's going to, you know, he isn't maybe going to throw as many deep passes, but he's probably not going to throw as many interceptions as well. So it's going to be a really tough decision, and I know it's something that Vance Joseph wants to make within the next couple of weeks. He wants to have this quarterback competition over before the third preseason game, so that guy, whether it's Simeon or Lynch, is going to be able to have the last 2 weeks of the preseason to really get entrenched as the starter, what that means in the locker room, with the offensive playbook, all of those sorts of things. But it's going to be very interesting over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, I live here in Denver, listen to a lot of sports radio. There's a lot of, you know, Team Paxton versus Team Simeon
going on.
And, you know, people want to, you know, judge every single practice and make it a referendum on this competition. And the reality is I don't think it's going to be over for at least 10 days until at least after that second preseason game.
You spent 8 days on the road and then, as you said, got back to Denver and saw a scrimmage. How much inside the football fraternity and how much have you heard people still talking about Colin Kaepernick and him not being signed versus whether or not he might actually get a job?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely still a story out there. And the longer it goes and the more quarterbacks that keep getting signed that aren't Colin Kaepernick, it's not going to go away. And, you know, I talked to a lot of media people about it, and there's just a lot, everybody's kind of miffed about why it hasn't happened. And it's just a really tough situation when you look around the league and you say, why hasn't this happened yet? And the Baltimore situation right now is just crazy. I mean, I've heard from a lot of people, from media people, team officials, just really perplexed about the way that Baltimore has gone about this, because this is a situation where you've got health questions with your starting quarterback. You don't have a great backup quarterback. I mean, look, Ryan Mallett's not this tremendous quarterback or tremendous, you know, he doesn't have a great off-field and locker room reputation either. You know, he's had issues everywhere he's been prior to coming to Baltimore, and you've got Harbaugh there, and you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to give the greatest endorsement to his brother about what kind of guy and quarterback and locker room presence Colin Kaepernick would be. So the fact that this is kind of being held up because of off-field stuff and ownership soliciting opinions from sponsors, it's just really crazy. And I don't know what team it is that's finally going to give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity. I don't think it's going to be the big distraction and the big issue inside of a team that some owners seem to think it's going to be. But yeah, it's just perplexing the longer this goes without resolution.
Lindsay Jones of USA Today with us here for a couple more minutes on CBS Sports Radio. I enjoy asking all of the people who join the show who are inside football and cover football the one big storyline question mark that they're most looking forward to when the season kicks off. So outside of the ones we've talked about, what else is a burning question for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Colin Kaepernick thing is going to be a storyline, but I just am really interested to see if anybody is going to be able to catch the Patriots right now. I mean, the way that the Patriots spent their offseason kind of reloading some of those trades they made, going out and getting Brandon Cooks from New Orleans, signing the cornerback from Buffalo,
Stephon Gilmore.
Who I cannot, it's late at night. But the move that they made to just kind of really reload this roster, it just is sending a message to the rest of the NFL that they're not done. Tom Brady might have turned 40, as we all heard last week. You couldn't escape it, coverage of Tom Brady's 40th birthday. But even though he's, you know, 40 now, they're priming to win again and win again right away. And I just want to see if anybody can catch them. I look around the rest of the AFC, and I don't think anybody has gained on them at all. If anything, it looks like they're pulling further away from the field, and it's going to be that much harder for anybody to catch them. And then we can talk. Then maybe we can look and see if they're going to do something historic right now.
It's almost here. Lindsay, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You can find Lindsay on Twitter at @ByLindsayHJones, and she covers the NFL for USA Today Sports.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.